Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Bird Show.
All right, let's get into this Ling thing here because this is pretty intense, man. I mean, put yourself in this situation where you've really got to make some very intense decisions very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Laura Ling. She crossed over into North Korea and was captured. Something that we're not allowed to do. And so she did the wrong thing and was captured. But this is her and her sister on with Oprah Winfrey talking about the capture. They've written a book now, and I'm desperately looking up the title right this second.
Why were they in North Korea in the first place? What were they investigating?
Well, she was doing a story on North Korea and should not have crossed over the border while doing that story. But she explains here how that actually happened.
We hired somebody who had worked with the media in the past. He knew the area well. He was very cautious up until that moment. And while we were on the river filming, he continued to walk across the ice. Mm-hmm. And our guide continued to walk closer and closer to North Korea. Right, and we followed him. Mm-hmm. And he motioned for us to follow.
The guide did.
Okay. Is there like a spot where you know in this, there's this line or there's some division there, that you know that if you put your foot over that, now you're in North Korea?
There was not. There are no signs saying no trespassing. There's no barbed wire. There's no fence. There were no guards in sight. But of course, we did know that as you're crossing the river, you're getting closer and closer to the other side. Mm-hmm. We stepped foot in North Korea, and after less than a minute, we said, we need to leave. Mm-hmm. We walked back across the ice, and about halfway across the ice, we heard yelling coming from down the river. Mm-hmm. I turned around and saw two North Korean soldiers with rifles running towards us.
They're running
On the ice.
All right, yeah. So I've said this before, that if you look at this logically, look at careers logically, there has to be a best and there has to be a worst in every career. So mm-hmm. One of you is going to the best dentist in the world. One of you is probably going mathematically, logically, to the crappiest. She got the crappiest tour guide and didn't know it. Walks right over the North Korea line.
Yeah, she did. And she knew they were close, but she didn't know exactly where they were going. They were on Oprah yesterday to promote this new book. It's called Somewhere Inside, One Sister's Captivity in North Korea and the Other's Fight to Bring Her Home. That's the name of it. That's why they were on Oprah telling the story. And here she is after she was captured. What happened to Laura Ling, in her own words?
There was a guard above me. He was particularly fierce. And he, as I was down on the soil, he was above me. He kicked me with his boot. He knocked me in the face, in the shoulder, and that just sent a shock through me. And then he continued to drag me across the ice, and there was a soldier upon Yuno that was doing the same. So we were slowly being dragged across the frozen river. And while we were on the ice, I wanted to try to do anything I could to stay as close as I could to China, and I actually started yelling, please, please, I'm sorry, we're sorry. And I think that only made him more upset.
So he's dragging you across the ice. Okay.
He's dragging, and I'm screaming.
Did I read, too, that he hit you with a gun butt?
At that moment on the ice, yeah. It was about, he was getting closer and closer to North Korea. He raised his rifle, the butt of his rifle, and I looked up, I saw the rifle coming down, and I thought this could be the end for me. Mm-hmm. The butt of the rifle struck my head, and I blacked out.
Damn. Oh, God. Yeah, so that's what happens at the first capture. And then once they are captured, she and the other journalists she was with were left alone for a short time. She was working for a San Francisco-based Current TV, is what it's called. It's a media venture founded by former Vice President Al Gore. So that's who she was working for. Yeah. She was actually doing a story on the sex trade in North Korea. And the the things that are happening there.
That must have been like the reality moment right there, because
when you get a rifle to the head,
you get a rifle to the butt of the head, like all of a sudden, like this, you think
this is it.
You don't see this in our country. Generally, a cop's not going to come up to you, mm-hmm. and he's certainly not going to be that kind of physical mm-hmm. with a woman. And when you get that kind of rifle butt to the head, you're like, damn. These people are not messing around. This is the real thing here.
And here's what they tried to do once they were captured.
Right in somewhere inside that there was a moment where you were left alone and you all destroyed the tapes, which I was like, oh, you at least got to destroy the tapes, yeah. and that you ate your notes. You chewed up your notes.
It was very early on. It was the first day that we were captured. Yeah. And for some reason, we were left alone with our belongings for a short period of time. So with guards right outside our door, we thought, we need to get rid of this evidence because we don't want anyone to be endangered. So we ripped up notes from the notebook, ate them, ripped up videotapes, deleted pictures, and did whatever we could in the little time that we had to destroy the evidence in our possession.
Now, here's what Bert was talking about earlier when she has to lie to save her own life. Remember, you were saying...
Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got to make a decision here. I mean, a really tough decision. What do I do? Because, you know, you're taught your entire life... Go the honest route. Go the honest route, mm-hmm. tell the truth, and the system will work for you. Well, in this case, in North Korea, you tell the truth, the system doesn't work for you.
No.
In their mind, I was trying to overthrow the government.
And at one point, didn't you tell them I was trying to overthrow the government?
Yes, I knew that that was the confession that they wanted to hear. And I was told, if you confess, there may be forgiveness. And if you don't, if you're not frank, if you don't confess, then the worst could happen. And so it was the most difficult decision to have to do that. I didn't know if I was sealing my fate and could be sent out to a firing squad the next mm-hmm. day. Mm-hmm. But I just had to trust that this was the right thing to do.
They were at first in their captivity in a 5x6 foot jail cell. And they say that, or she said she was visited by a doctor to inspect the wounds that she received while she was trying to evade the capture.
Okay, in a second, Jenna's going to tell you what knight in shining armor comes into Korea and saves the day. But first, John went in on this. Hey, John.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good, man. Hey, thank good. You for calling.
Hey, just want to say, Rob, briefly, real quickly, I can sympathize with the journalist because I'm a retired Air Force pilot, mm-hmm. and I was shot down, and I was a POW of war for 11 years.
Wow. No way.
So I can sympathize on what they went through because what they did to us is a whole lot worse.
Just give us a little insight. Like, what's it like to be in captivity, a POW, in Korea, nonetheless, for 11 years?
11 years. Just basically put a lab rat in a cage and then just stick it in a dryer for 24 hours, but do that every day.
Mm. You're just like
by the time you fall asleep, think you're going to get some rest, they come in, they wake you up, they beat you around some more, and then now you're just so tired you can't stay awake, they keep you awake.
Did you think you were going to survive it?
I didn't think I was going to make the first 6 weeks.
Really?
But then after that, you know, thinking of family, home, coming home, hopefully, parents, future, then the wheel starts to take over. So I can sympathize for what those journalists went through, and it's no joke over there.
At some point over 11 years, you must have thought, I mean, if they're doing this to you every day, I'll just kill myself.
Oh, well, made me a stronger person now because I'm in a correctional officer now.
Wow, really?
Wow. Yeah, those kids.
He's laughing about it.
Yeah, like, well, I mean.
Because I work in the prisons now.
Well, you gotta get your mind out of that. If not, you're going to end up like, you know, a vegetable. You just got to say, mm-hmm. okay, it happened to me. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm talking to the mm-hmm. Bert Show.
I'm wondering, does it make you mad when you see prisoners who have committed like violent crimes in the U.S. get to watch TV and write letters?
I mean, honestly, these guys playing cards and basketball and stuff are doing heinous crimes, murder, rape, and all that stuff. We need to just be put in a box and sheltered for the next 5 years so they know just total silence.
Yeah, could you imagine like being one of... You know, like his guys. Like, you think it's bad here. You think it's bad because you get 3 square meals here?
Right.
And you are getting
because we just took away your...
I could say this. They would give us some food, but by the time you had the strength to eat it, there were flies and maggots in your food, so you had to work around those.
Oh,
wow. And who knows if it's any worse or any better here for Lisa Link. John, thank you very much for calling, man.
Hey, God bless you.
Laura Lang and another journalist, Yuna Lee, were the ones who were captured back in March of 2009. And a couple of months into it, they were sentenced to 12 years of hard labor. After that sentencing, Laura Lang said she just got super depressed.
You were sentenced to 12 years of hard labor. And when you heard that, what did you do? How did you feel?
I was petrified. Yeah. I had tried to prepare myself for a long sentence. I told myself this could be, it could be long. But once I heard those words, 12 years, come from the judge, I mean, I could barely stand up straight. Mm-hmm.
And didn't he say no forgiveness and no?
No forgiveness, no appeal. And that's what really cut into me. Mm-hmm. So I spiraled into a deep depression, and I refused my meals, and I just kind of huddled into a dark corner of the room for quite a while.
But they say there was only one knight in shining armor who could have saved her.
When Bill Clinton arrived, you all are walking down a hall, and you had heard that maybe he might be coming.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unreal. It was surreal. I was walking down a hallway with dozens of North Korean security agents, and I see this bald American with an earpiece, Secret Service agent, and I just felt the presence of my country. Mm-hmm. And I was ushered, Yuna and I were ushered into a room, and standing before us was President Clinton, and seriously felt like it was this angelic figure that mm-hmm. had come to save us.
And what did you say to him?
I said to him, President Clinton, we've apologized for what we've done. I hope that you can do the same and apologize on our behalf. He said that that's been done. Mm-hmm. I still have a little bit more work to do, but I hope and I believe that you will be on that plane with us tomorrow.
Wow. That had to feel like what?
I mean, unreal. Okay. Unreal. And the only person that could come to our rescue was President Clinton, and we are so, so appreciative.
All he heard was that he was going to a women's prison.
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
You want to go get a couple of women over in Korea? Yeah, I do. Gas up the jet. Point it east.
Like foreign policy well enough to know why was he the only one that could have
saved
them?
The only diplomat? I'm not really sure what the connection was there.
Just remembering from the story when it happened, like he had some sort of relationship with North Korea, and the guy who, the Kim Jong crazy, the guy who runs North Korea, like he loved Bill Clinton.
For some reason,
like he had like a relationship
they
with Bill Clinton.
Because
remember, at that time, Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right.
Or at least the appointee. So she should have been the one to do that. But everybody knew that because of who this guy,
right,
this leader of Korea, loved Bill Clinton so much, they knew that he would be able to facilitate it. I think that's the story,
gotcha.
Or something similar to that.
Yeah. Craziness. All right, she also talks about how she actually abused herself.
You know, you talk a little bit at the end of the book and shared with us. Having to put your family through this, the U.S. government through this. But during that whole time, were you thinking about how did this happen to you, that you got yourself into this situation?
Yeah, of course. I was angry at myself. Mm-hmm. I would go into the bathroom and look at myself in the mirror and think, who are you? And how did this happen? And, I mean, I literally would, I hit myself, I slapped myself, because I wanted to punish myself mm-hmm. for putting my family through this. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that every day, and mm-hmm. the pain that they must be feeling. That was the hardest thing for me.
Intense, man.
Crazy.
I mean, that's somebody's life right there. That sounds like a made-for-TV movie, right?
It does. I bet you it will be a movie eventually.
Here's Angie. Good morning. You're on The Burt Show. Hi.
Hi, Burt Show. Love the show.
What's going on?
I watched the show yesterday, and I have to say, I really sympathize with what she went to on one hand, but on the other hand, I really feel like some of that she brought on herself.
What?
I mean, I say that because when you cross that river from China into North Korea, you may not have known what footstep was going to lead you into North Korea, but you knew where you were headed to, and that's exactly what she said on the show.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can blame her as much as you can blame the guide.
I'm not blaming her, but there are certain situations that you can keep yourself out of danger.
Mm-hmm. For some people, it's very black and white, man. You're either in the right, you're in the wrong, you know?
But she's a journalist. That's what she does.
She's a journalist. You're always pushing there.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You're on The Burt Show.
All right, so Bobby Cox gets kicked out of the Braves game last night, and it's a very big deal for The Burt Show, right?
And Bobby Cox is coming out. He may have just been thrown out of the game by Ron Culpa. Bobby out there talking with Culpa.
At this point, if we're all watching, we're like, no.
That should have been a strike call on Matthews trying to bunt at it when the ball was getting through McCann. I think Bobby's been tossed.
All right, so normally that's not a big deal. But Melissa Carter will tell you why it's a big deal that Bobby Cox got kicked out. Hey, Melissa.
Hello.
Hello. You want to tell everybody why it's a big deal that Bobby Cox got kicked out of that game last night?
What are you talking about? This is my go-to outfit. No, Bobby Cox, yes. Coach Cox decided that in the ninth inning, even though the Braves won the game, he wasn't too happy at a call at first base. So he got ejected from the game. And we decided at the beginning of the season, every time that Bobby Cox gets kicked out, that we draw names and one of us has to go out on a busy corner in our morph suit during some morning traffic. And so I'm out here in Buckhead at the corner of C Street and Piedmont. And we have a lot of listeners that come by, so that's a good thing. So there's a lot of listeners that are honking and, you know, woo! And then there's people who are very, very confused. But there was one of Atlanta's finest that was walking up the sidewalk, hey! And I thought, hey! And I thought, I'm about to get arrested. Imagine the mugshots in this thing.
Yeah.
However, she decided that she just wanted a picture with me. So I'm a hit with the police officer.
So if you've never seen one of these morph suits before, we'll have the pictures up online at theburtshow.com. But it's a skin-tight, like, superhero uniform without any graphics. But it's like the Spider-Man kind. So it's from head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
And it is skin-tight.
That's a perfect description. But this is a blue Spider-Man suit because of the Braves. We're doing it blue for the Braves. So I'm out here with a sign that Wendy did a great job making this morning that says, Go Braves, The Burt Show, Q100. At 99.7.
How does it feel to be in the morph suit? Like, what does it feel like on your skin?
Dead sexy, probably.
Yes, absolutely. Except on your face. Because it's weird to have, it's almost as if somebody is basically trying to suffocate me, but nobody's there.
Smothering.
It's hard to talk, and then if you have long lashes, they kind of get pushed into your eye. But other than that, it's fun. And it is actually freeing for a lot of people who may be shy. This is your perfect costume because nobody knows who you are unless you have a sign that says The Burt Show on it.
Nice. Melissa's voice sounds muffled not because of her carrier, but because of the costume is over her mouth.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, this suit goes over her entire head, face, arms,
feet,
fingers, toes, you name it.
It's like a big onesie.
So, Melissa, we had a question on the rules of this bet. Because I think when we were talking about it, we said that everybody's name would stay in the drawing for the next time that Bobby gets kicked out. Are you cool with that?
Well, I'm cool with that if I get to check all, if I get to write the names on the pieces of paper.
All right, now, how long are you going to be out there for? Because I figured you can come home here in a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're done.
I've been out here for about 20 minutes. So, you know what? It's up to you guys, because however long I'm out here, you have to be out here.
Yeah, come on back.
She's done. Yeah, come on back. Great job.
Super
Melissa.
Job. Come on back.
All right.
All right. All
right.
All right. So the next time Bobby gets kicked out of a game, once again, we'll put all of our names in a hat, minus Melissa Carter. And someone's going to have to go out to another street corner in that morph suit.
This is The Burt Show.
So I am suffering from BSSS. And that is bathing suit season stress. It is a new disorder that I am coming up with.
There has to be a syndrome on the end of that also.
Yes. Oh, so it would be BSSSS.
Yes, because syndrome makes everything seem way worse than it really is.
Yes, so bathing suit season stress syndrome.
It's closely related to morph suit bet loss syndrome, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. But I have a big trip to Europe planned with my boyfriend this summer, and I really want to look good for it. And it's like, when we booked the tickets and booked the trip and everything, I was like all excited. And I'm like, oh, that's plenty of time. You know, for now I'll be like, you know, tight and fit and trim, whatever. And I'll be looking good in the bikini. And then now all of a sudden it's like, ooh, it's the end of May. And then it's going to be here before you know it. And so I don't know. I'm just starting to totally stress out about being in a bathing suit. And I'm guessing that other women are feeling the same thing. And I'm pretty pale, too, so I'm kind of like pasty and feeling like I could drop a few pounds and everything else. And so I'm just in that mode where everything is stressing me out. Like when I'm putting on my pants in the morning, I'm like, oh, these are a little snug. And then I'm like, you know, when I'm eating lunch that I really like, it's just like more on my mind than it ever would be throughout the entire winter when you can wear sweaters and jeans.
We got a reoccurring theme going on here that women stress out way further in advance than dudes do when it comes to stuff like this.
We stress out all the time
between you
about
and
it.
Your luggage and being stressed out about packing five days before a trip, or you stressed out or constantly thinking about this trip months before it even happens. Dudes, we wait for everything for the last minute, 24 hours.
24 hours. Yeah. As you're packing, you're like, ooh, wish I would have done some more crunches.
Or, yeah, right. Exactly.
You turn the heat way up and wrap yourself in saran wrap.
I do that.
Really?
Yeah, it works.
Really?
It does not.
The saran wrap thing.
Yeah,
saran wrap
works. You got to do it the night before.
What is the saran wrap thing?
What?
You got to do it the night before.
This is taking a beautiful turn.
Here we go. So what do you
do the night before? Like if you need to like just like lose a couple of like water weight pounds, you wrap your whole body in saran wrap because then you wake up and sweat and all the water weight.
You go
out
to bed wrapped in saran wrap?
That's disgusting.
So what you're doing is you're draining your body of the water?
Yeah, but you got to drink like plenty of water before you do it. But yeah, you wrap yourself up.
It's sort of the same thing
that
wrestlers.
Trick.
It's the same thing wrestlers do, like before a meet. If I mean, they don't wrap themselves up in saran wrap, but they'll
trash bags.
Sweats after sweats after sweats and trash bag, and you run to get that water weight before weighing.
Mm-hmm. You've never know, pageant girls, I think, do that too to you know to slim down their legs before they do the bathing suit and pageants.
I don't think I'm going to go quite that far. I was trying to figure out if it means that much to me to look that good in a bathing suit, but I don't think that I could go that far.
So now the trip is when?
It's not until July.
July. So everything that you're putting in your mouth now, everything that you're trying on now, your sort of your target is always how you're going to look in Europe.
Yeah. I actually thought about going to buy a bikini like this weekend and kind of hang it up on the wall. So that it's like, oh, I'm always looking at it until the
but
vacation.
But you're going to Europe. You can just run around naked and don't even have to shave your pits.
Hey, Jessica, good morning. You're on The Burt Show. Hi.
Hi. I love you guys. I listen every morning.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Sure. I get your stress, girlfriend. I've only lost 12 pounds. I'm getting married on Saturday. So I've only lost 12 pounds. But it's a start. So just keep working on it. You've got plenty of time. Plenty
yours
of
would
time.
Be WDSS.
Oh,
wedding
my.
Dress stress syndrome.
It's ridiculous for no reason.
And you're trying to lose how much weight?
No. I can't. It's way too late. I mean,
no.
I wanted to lose more, but I've only lost 12.
Not according to Wendy. If you actually climb in your oven,
don't with aluminum foil.
You could.
Oh,
you could
saran
wrap tonight. Right. Rehearsal dinner's tomorrow, right?
Wendy, are you seriously, you fly out to L.A. on Sunday. Are you going to saran wrap Saturday night?
No, I'm not going to saran wrap. I mean, I used
they
to do that.
They won't let you through security, man. I'm not going with you.
Because I got to tell you, Wendy, you're not going to saran wrap in L.A., right?
No, I'm not.
Because if there's a chance that you're wrapped in saran wrap and the hotel catches on fire, I pretend not to know you. I'm not knocking on your door.
In L.A., it would be, in L.A., you'll fit right in. Are you kidding me? Everybody's saran wrapping themselves.
Right before you go to bed.
Hey, later. Jessica, I was going to ask Jessica, like, at what point, because she's, like, resolved to the fact I'm wondering if that happened like last week or 10 days ago when she's just like, I remember the meal where I just said, screw it. I'm not going to lose all the weight anyway, so I might as well enjoy myself.
But she said she lost 12 pounds. She's been working on her wedding probably for a year, you know, or at least 6 months. Yes. I mean, anytime you have an event as a woman, because, yeah, it doesn't just happen. Like if somebody is in a certain shape, that didn't just happen. If it's a woman, they plan that far in advance.
So let me ask you a question then. Like, let's say Joanna, right? She's getting married when?
Next May.
Will she already have in the back of her mind now how she wants to look next May and then be as particular about what she eats now for a year from now?
Probably. Yes. Yeah. Especially for a wedding day.
Really?
Yeah. That's probably,
That's common.
Definitely for the wedding day.
This is such a foreign conversation to me. Hey, Amber, good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Hey, I was just telling you, she could call it B Quad S. That way it sounds more, you know, professional. So if she's having a bad day,
oh,
she
I like
say,
that.
Yeah, my B Quad S is messing up today.
So. B Quad S. Because of the four S's, the bathing suit stress syndrome.
Sounds better than BSSSSS.
Season stress syndrome.
Exactly.
I'm confused.
Yeah. B Quad S.
That sounds like a rapper name.
We got a new hit from B Quad S. Woo! Yeah.
Here is Connie. Good morning, Connie. You're on the Burt Show. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. I just got back from a transatlantic cruise that took me from Puerto Rico to Spain.
Nice.
Don't worry about a thing. There was 400 pounders, topless and thongs. You have nothing to worry about.
400 pounders.
Now, is that, you said that was a cruise, though?
It was a cruise that we went to Canary Islands and to Cadiz and Barcelona.
Nice.
Cadiz and Barcelona, Tenerife, topless beaches.
I didn't know they had fat people in Europe.
No, they do.
Yeah, there's a few of them.
Anytime there's a cruise, there's overweight people. You got to know that.
Joanna just made a confession from her phone screening studio that she not only was planning on losing weight for her own wedding, but she lost weight for someone else's wedding.
She's the maid of honor, isn't she?
She wasn't even in it. She was just attending it.
She
lost weight.
Really?
This is The Burt Show.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait. Lady luck?
Bretsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's The Burt Show.
Conspiracy theories, is this mainly a dude thing? Is this going to be boring for half of our audience here?
I don't think so. I think conspiracy theories are fascinating, but I think more men believe them wholeheartedly than women do. Maybe that's a generalized statement, but I think men typically spend some more time crafting these things.
So we're just talking about this whole Laura Ling situation in North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty nasty situation. I mean, she had to really make... She was doing a piece on North Korea, mm-hmm. on the sex trade industry.
That's right.
And her tour guide, great, this must have been his first day, walks her right on over into North Korea, and she didn't even know it until... North Korean soldiers surround them and say, you're not allowed to be here. And they're pulling her by the hair. And then she takes the butt of a gun to the head. And then, then it gets serious.
And then she was in captivity. She was in a small cell for the first couple of weeks. But total, she was captive for 140 days until President Bill Clinton came over and was able to negotiate for her freedom.
So we have a virtual listener that called us a couple of minutes ago and thinks that this is a conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear what your conspiracy theories are. And I don't make fun of you. Just want to hear them, because I do think that I pretty much take things at face value.
Me too.
I just
typically.
Think that things, you know, like, it's so complicated to actually launch most of these theories that I just don't think people think that far ahead. But I guess it is absolutely possible. So if you have one, 404-741-Q100.
Well, usually conspiracy theories have to do with some sort of government thing. Mm-hmm. The government's always behind everything. There's 9/11 conspiracy theories, how it wasn't real airline planes. It was military planes, and they were brought down by bombs. But I think they're mostly like that. There's Elvis conspiracy theories. There was that Michael Jackson conspiracy theory just the other week that he was on.
Yeah, he appeared on Larry King after he died.
After he died.
It's got to be something more important than that, though. On Wikipedia, when you're looking about conspiracy theories, wars mostly, like number one.
Mm-hmm.
The motivations for nations starting, entering, or ending wars are often brought into question by conspiracy theorists. Munitions suppliers are often blamed for wars.
Well, the first call we had talked about global warming. He thinks that's a conspiracy theory. It's something that was made up that's actually not happening to our world and our atmosphere as we dump oil into the Gulf.
And what's fascinating about
Well, one doesn't have to do with the other.
The global warming.
Doesn't have to do with oil in the Gulf.
Well, that's I was true. Just saying, we're ruining the planet.
Your jokes better be accurate. Okay, woman?
He hasn't said anything in 2 hours. I'm just glad you're part of the show, Jeff.
Clinton body count is the theory that Bill Clinton was sort of killing off some of his staff members that were getting in his way.
Oh, random.
So there are many of these conspiracy theories. Let's just pretend here, okay, we will form sort of a wall around you. We're not going to make fun of you. Just want to hear them. 404-741-Q100. Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
You tell us what's going on.
My theory is that we've never been to the moon.
Never been. My grandfather. Yeah. This was an old school one right here, because my grandparents believed this was a conspiracy.
Why do you think that?
Well, if you look at the footage, I mean, it's pretty crappy, but it just looks like it could have easily been done on some Hollywood lot. You know, we've never been back to the moon since. We can barely, in some cases, get rockets and spacecrafts to get out of our atmosphere without, you know, some kind of complication or, God forbid, you know, an explosion like the one years ago. But two words that will absolutely blow a hole in the fact that we've been to the moon.
Okay.
Moon buggy.
Moon buggy.
Moon buggy. Who came up with the moon buggy? Well, buggies were very popular back in the 70s. So all of a sudden they put a buggy on the moon. So if we'd have gone to the moon today, what would people be rollerblading? Would that be on skateboards? Moon buggy? You got to be kidding.
Segway. Moon Segway today.
Okay.
You seemed oddly passionate when it got to the buggy part.
Well, conspiracy theorists are very passionate about
very
this.
Passionate.
And they don't have much voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess now with the internet, you can blog about it. But publicly, you don't have much of a voice. And people want to kind of say, you're a freak, man. No way.
And you can look at different circumstances. That's the funny part about conspiracy theories, because there's always like a little nugget that you're like, hey, that could be true. Or, hey, I saw that in the photograph. Like with the moon thing, there's apparently on part of the picture of Lance Armstrong on the moon, there's a little like dark spot where they're like, that's supposed to be the camera and lighting equipment in the background. And then you look at it, you're like, that could really be a camera and lighting equipment in the background. So it just makes you think. And then as soon as you start thinking, you're like, I believe it.
This physical therapist that's helping me through my knee, he sort of believes that professional basketball and football games are all set up.
Oh, really? Like,
there's a big argument during this year's playoffs for TV revenue.
Oh,
for
really?
For TV revenue, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like the bigger markets usually get in because the TV revenue is in ratings. And if you notice, like in a basketball game, like the star, if the the opposing team is winning, the star of the other team gets a little bit more leeway so they can score some more points to even up a series. A lot of people believe stuff like that.
Really?
Hey, Brad, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I think that the Toyota acceleration getting stuck was a conspiracy to help boost U.S. auto sales.
Oh, wow.
Ah, that's actually a great conspiracy theory.
Hmm. And when you tell your group of friends about that, they probably look at you like, come on, man.
Yeah, they don't believe it. They think I'm crazy.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't believe it if I had a Toyota that its accelerator got stuck.
It shot through the front of my closed garage door.
Yeah.
Laura, good morning. Your conspiracy theory.
I believe that they will not find the cure for cancer.
Oh, that's horrible.
There's actually a pretty significant conspiracy theory that they have already found a cure for cancer. But because cancer is such big business, that it's...
Oh, don't say that.
It's kept buried.
Mm-mm.
Because...
then everybody doing that is going to hell.
Because there's so much money to be made in the research and attacking that disease. I've heard that before.
That makes me sad.
Is that your theory, Laura?
Yeah, I have stage 4 cancer, and they know chemo does not work, but yet they continue to give it.
Mm. Oh, that's awful.
So what are you doing? What alternative ways are you doing to fight it?
I go to Progressive Medical and spend a ton of money to get vitamin C. I get injections. I get big needles stuck in me all the time just to clear out all the crap out of my body, because toxins in our environment is causing cancer. They know it's not genetic anymore.
Hmm.
And are you doing any of that Chinese medicine? I've heard of people looking at alternate therapies there, too.
Yeah, we're looking at all kinds of stuff.
Wow. Thanks for calling, Laura.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to argue with a woman that has cancer.
That's awful.
Good morning, Mike. You are on Q100. Hi.
Hi, yeah. I just want to let you guys know Lance Armstrong won the Tour de France, and Neil Armstrong.
Oh, yeah, Neil Armstrong, my bad.
What did you say?
I said Lance Armstrong.
Was on the moon? I didn't even catch it.
One of those Armstrongs.
Damn it, why didn't I catch that?
I've got a conspiracy theory that Wendy's bright.
Cameron, good morning. You are on the Burt Show. Conspiracy theories.
Hi. If you've ever noticed, when you try to eat healthy on a diet, the food always costs so much more expensive than everything else.
Right.
I think it's the government making sure that Americans stay unhealthy and stay in the hospitals, paying more taxes to the government.
Yeah, I also know a lot of people that believe that because there's money in the industry for pesticides and stuff like that. So you can't really, you can't have completely healthy food because in the industry that's supplying the chemicals, they go under also. I've heard that.
Yeah, and if the government can raise higher taxes to the producers, then they can. That means more cost to them, which means higher prices in the stores for us.
Thank you for calling. And Felicia, good morning. You've got a conspiracy theory.
I do. I think O.J. didn't do it, but I know who did.
Okay.
Who do you think did it?
His son. His son hated Nicole. He's big and strong like his dad, and he was a chef, so he was good with knives. Any father would cover for his son. Later in life, it's going to come out.
So he took the fall for his son.
Yep.
Okay.
That's a good theory.
DNA.
Yeah, and you're sure of this one.
Wow. I'm sure.
You are sure of this one. Thank you for calling.
That would be a good one if that ever came out.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
There's all kinds of conspiracy theories on Marilyn Monroe's death. That it wasn't an overdose, that it was that she was intentionally murdered because she was having an affair with the president.
That's right.
Remember?
The whole thing about Elvis Presley's tombstone.
What's that one?
His name is misspelled. His middle name is wrong on his tombstone. Like, his middle name is Aaron, but it's spelled, I think, on his birth certificate. Like, his given name was with one A or two, but on the tombstone, it's the opposite.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. So he's not really in there, and that's how it's okay.
Here, Bird Show.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Bert Show.
Bert Show.
Hi.
Good morning.
Love you guys, by the way.
Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to comment really quickly. Does Wendy ever get annoyed with Joanna giving her advice?
Does Wendy ever get annoyed by producer Joanna giving her advice?
Yeah, I'm just curious because it seems like on more than one occasion, she kind of comes off like, you know, she knows better than Wendy does, and she's like, I'll be more than happy to help you, or, you know, I'm just wondering. I'm going to hang up and listen. I'm just curious.
I'm going to get out of the line of fire now.
I have a question. Is Wendy going to answer this question honestly?
I'm not annoyed with Joanna's advice. I just think it's different advice for different people, and it works for different people. I think I'm different than Joanna by a long shot. Joanna's more confident and has a different way that goes about her. And I just think I'm a completely different person. So I can take the advice, but I don't necessarily think the advice works for me and my personality because I'm more of a shy and reserved person unless I'm out and about with my girlfriend. So it's just a different scenario and a different way that she looks at things.
Producer Joanna came in here just a couple of minutes ago when Wendy was talking about doing a little one-on-one with Casey James here. And Joanna came in here like, look, if you need pointers on how to flirt with a guy, I got this.
Well, just like anybody, as soon as Joanna is engaged or like y'all, as soon as you're married, you become the expert on dating and relationships.
Oh, I figured out how to be single the day I got married.
Exactly. That's the same thing with Joanna. She got a rock on her hand. She's planning a wedding. So now all of a sudden she's the expert single person.
I just don't think that Wendy is answering this honestly, though. Like in sitting here, I could tell when Joanna came in here, the look on your I brought it up to you like an hour and a half ago saying that, hey, Joanna might be coming in here to give you some pointers. And you could see the look on your face change, man.
It's not an annoyance. It's just a differences in personality. Joanna used to date a lot. I don't happen to enjoy dating. I think when you meet somebody.
Oh, so now you're calling her a slut in a backhanded way.
No.
You're being an instigator.
Yeah, I know. I never said that.
You're
trying to start.
No, Joanna has dated a lot, whereas when I have relationships, we just know. Like, you meet somebody and it just kind of goes from there.
Let the skankopotamus talk.
Yes. It's just when you have a skill, you know, you want to share with everybody how great you are at something. I'm good at flirting with men. And that's my claim to fame. So I wanted to share with you that I'm just good at it. So
why are you getting married? Oh, because I found the one that I want to stay with forever. But before I was married, I was good at getting married. I'm just good at it.
Now, my question for you would be this. Do you think you're going to be able to turn it off even though you get married?
It's been turned off.
No, it hasn't.
Oh, no, it hasn't.
No, it hasn't.
Since the engagement, flirt. Since about an hour ago, since
I walked in the room, okay. It's been turned off. You would be wanting me right now. Yeah. To turn it off when I come in here.
Just so you know, if it was turned off, you wouldn't be doing this break from Bert's lap.
The Bert Show.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.